You're listening to a message from Every Nation Canberra. In this Easter message, Pastor Joe Sulit uses Luke chapter 23, verses 32 to 43, to show us what we can learn from the example of the thieves on the cross.
Good morning, everyone.
Welcome to Every Nation Canberra. So good to have you here today. Thank you, guys, for that very wonderful background about the hot cross buns. I got a bigger one here. It says here, Easter traditional fruit, all right? And we don't have this in Manila, right, in the Philippines. When we came here, I was surprised because I saw this hot cross buns at the grocery, and I realized that they only come out during the Easter season. So sometime in the 1300s, there was a widespread epidemic called the Black Plague. And a lot of people died. About 200 million people died in the span of a few years. And 30 to 50% of the entire continent of Europe was wiped out. So the first hot cross buns, in addition to what Gans was saying, was introduced by an Anglo-Saxon monk named Thomas Rockliffe in 1361. So he made a bun and put a cross on it, believing that no one in his monastery would ever die from the plague again. Thus, the cross image, or the cross shape, was seen as a sign of protection and as a sign of blessing. And that started it all. Thank you, Gans, for that additional information. When it's time to eat your hot cross buns, take some time to contemplate on what Jesus did for us. If you do not believe in Easter, at least be thankful that you have food on your table. Be grateful for blessings. What comes to mind when you think of the cross? Death? What else? Suffering? Persecution, right? Love? Without the cross and without the resurrection of Jesus, what do we have? Jesus was born to suffer. Jesus was born to die. And he was born to pay the punishment for our sins. Without what Jesus did, none of us would be saved. But after 3 days, he rose again. The tomb was empty. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the foundation of our Christian faith. And this is what we are going to celebrate today. But if you really notice, Jesus was not alone. There were two other people who were crucified with Jesus that day. The Bible tells us very little about them. We both know that they were criminals, thieves, and they're mentioned so briefly. The reason why there were two other people on that day with Christ is because prophecy has to be fulfilled. In Isaiah 53:12, it says, "Because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors." So all the four Gospels recorded that Jesus died between two criminals. But who were they? Who were these two people? Why were they there? And why should we care, right? We know that God's word will not come back void. This means that there's a special reason why God put two criminals beside Jesus. And this is what we're going to talk about today. Our message today is called "Someday to Be Somebody: The Theology of the Thief on the Cross." And I would like to ask you to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 23, verses 32 to 43. And you can scan this. I'll give you a little time to scan that so that you can read along with me. So that's Luke chapter 23, verses 32 to 43. We are reading from the English Standard Version. Verse 32, "Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.' And they cast lots to divide his garments, and the people stood by, watching. But the rulers scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself. If he is Christ, the Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." Now one of the criminals who were hang-railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise." This is the word of the Lord. If you are going to die tonight and get entry to heaven, and the angels would ask you, "Why are you here?" What would you say? You're right there in front of the gate of heaven. And then the angel asks you, what are you doing here? What would you say? Someone said, if we answer that in the first person, we have immediately got it wrong. Because I believe in Christ, because I did this, because I go to church every Sunday, because, you know, I put up like a foundation or whatever. The only proper answer is the third person. Because Jesus, because he did, because he died for my sins. Because of Jesus. See, Jesus said to the believing thief, "You will be with me in paradise." Can you imagine the conversation when the thief was in the paradise that Jesus promised him, and then the angel said, "What are you doing here? I don't know." And what do you mean you don't know? Do you believe by justification, by faith? What is that? What church do you go to? I don't go to church. I'm actually a thief, right? And when you come to think of it, the thief probably is like confused. Jesus said, "You will be with me in paradise," but he actually didn't know what he did for him to be in paradise. And that's what we're going to study today, the theology of the thief. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world, whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." The gospel is not complex. It's very, very simple. How does the theology of the thief on the cross fit into our theology? He was not baptized. He did not take communion. He was not speaking in tongues. He did not go on mission trips. He did not volunteer. He did not give to church. He didn't even go to church. He couldn't even bend his knees to pray. Of all the people, he was a thief. And knowing how thieves operate during those days, they would probably kill his victims. He was a sinner. And Jesus didn't take away the pain or heal him at that moment. Yet Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." He was a naked man hanging on the cross, not even able to fold his hands to pray. He didn't have anything. He didn't have anything to offer except his faith. The word crucifixion is actually taken from the word the cross. Crucifixion, by design, it drains the energy, the life out of a body. It's the most humiliating punishment that you could ever receive. And it means agonizing, embarrassing, extremely painful, derived from the word crux, or the cross, out of the cross. Matthew and Mark tells us that the two thieves were actually mocking Jesus in the beginning. It says in Mark 15:32, "Even those who were crucified with him reviled him." The two thieves were mocking Jesus. Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing. That's what we read in Matthew. So Jesus said to the other thief, you will be with me in paradise. How did this happen? You know, at one point, the other criminal said, if you are the Christ, save yourself and then save us. But the other one rebuked him, right? There was a change of heart. The thief no longer mocked Jesus. Now he defended him. What happened? How did he have a change of heart? Well, we don't know. The Bible didn't mention why. But what we know is that he witnessed how others mocked and reviled Jesus. In fact, in the beginning, he also reviled him. And after all these false accusations against Jesus, he heard Jesus saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And maybe he thought to himself, if he can forgive them, then maybe he can also forgive me. But we really don't know. What we knew is that this thief had a change of heart. He said to the other thief, do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due rewards of our debt. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. And Jesus didn't say this to anyone in the Bible. This is the only thing, the only time that Jesus said this to someone. Can we really receive salvation at the very last minute? Now, let's take a closer look at the theology of the thief. In simple terms, theology is what we believe about God. Everyone is a theologian. You have a certain belief about who God is. In this thief's theology, which is summarized in just three verses, in a very brief cameo role that he played during the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, encapsulated in three simple sentences, is the synopsis of the truth of the gospel. He said to the other thief, do you not fear God? Di ka ba natatakot sa Diyos? The first essential truth, the repentant thief, was that he understood that God should be feared. As he faced the consequences of his actions here on earth, he embraced the foundation of all true knowledge, the fear of the Lord. The Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of understanding. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. This reverent fear was clearly evident when he started to refuse to join the chorus of people mocking and reviling Jesus. The simple statement is so powerful because he humbly knew where he stands before Jesus, a sinner who deserves punishment. He said, we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. The thief recognized his own sinfulness. He acknowledged that he was wicked, and he knew that there was nothing he could do to save himself. From an initial state of pride, he humbled himself before the Lord. He came with empty hands, nothing but a repentant heart. He said to this man, the other thief, you know, this man that's hung with us, this people called Christ, he has done nothing wrong. The thief understood that they were guilty. He hadn't read about any attributes about God. He probably couldn't even read. But he knew in his heart that Jesus has done nothing wrong, and he recognized the righteousness of Christ. First, he called Jesus by name. There was this recognition of who Jesus really is. He said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He believed that Jesus was who he said he was. Normal kings don't die on crosses, but this thief believed that this man crucified beside him was more than an earthly king, and he has an earthly kingdom. He knew that he was going to die soon, but he trusted Jesus with the one thing that he cannot even probably get with anything else or anybody else, and that is his eternity. He said, Jesus, please remember me. Don't forget about me. And Jesus made him a promise. He said, "You will be with me in paradise." A powerful statement of the thief's theology in three short verses. A transformational life belief about who Jesus is. The theology of the thief is so simple, yet so powerfully profound. Fear of the Lord, reverence for the Lord, acknowledging that you are a sinner, that there's nothing that you can do to save yourself. Recognize the righteousness of Christ, and then believe. It's as simple as that. And when we read this account of the thief on the cross in the book of Luke, it's easy to go over this and just forget about all of this very foundational truth about our faith. I believe that God wants to remind us all. Three crosses, two need salvation, and only one can provide it. We see here two opposites. One is repentant, and the other refuses to believe. The two criminals, they represent us all, everyone in this room. And I believe that God wants to remind us of this. Two crosses, who need salvation, and one who can provide it. The cross is a symbol of God's grace, but it is also simultaneously a symbol of God's certain coming judgment. I believe the cross represents two things. The two thieves, they portray the judgment that God has upon us all. The Bible says, "For all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." But it also represents the salvation of those who have faith in Christ. These two thieves represent both judgment and the salvation of God. And at the center of it is the cross of Christ. The centerpiece of God's work of redemption is in Jesus. And your encounter with the cross is the defining moment in your life. And it is at this point where the cross, at the cross where we are judged. We are either forgiven or we either die in our sins. It was not a coincidence that these two thieves were crucified alongside Jesus. God had set it up this way, precisely for a reason. Because at one point in our life, we will have an encounter with Jesus. Maybe now, tomorrow, maybe a few years ago, we had an encounter with Jesus and we had to make a choice. There are only two destinations: a life with Jesus in heaven or eternal judgment in hell. We cannot just sit on the fence and say, "I'll just wait for that time, then I'll make a decision." Failing to choose Jesus means rejecting him. The humble thief chose Jesus and life. The arrogant thief rejected Jesus, choosing eternal condemnation. Everyone will choose. Keep that in mind. Everyone will choose. And the choice you make will dictate eternity. The cross is a picture of both judgment and salvation. I've read that story, those verses, 100 times. But it's only now that I realize that we are part of that story. The two thieves on the cross, they represent each and every one of you. You either revile Jesus when you encounter him in your life, or you worship him and surrender your life to him. It is a choice that you have to make. All of us, we will encounter Jesus at one point in our lives. Maybe many of us in this room have encountered Jesus already and we have made a choice. But there are thousands and millions of others who probably encounter Jesus and say to themselves, "What for?" We have a role to play. Even if the cross is a symbol of judgment that we will all face one day, it is also a symbol of grace, a symbol of God's love for each and every one of us who don't deserve to be here right now. But Christ died for our sins. The crucifixion is the most humiliating, heart-wrenching punishment one could ever receive. Jesus paid the penalty of our sins on that cross. He died for us. But He is alive. And that is why we're here today. We serve a living God. And we celebrate that today. We celebrate that today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to You today as we surrender all our sins to You. Lord, when we have chosen our work, our other earthly duties over You, most of us even look at this 4 or 5 day week break to enjoy and have fun. Lord, with all humility, we come to You today. And we pray that You would change our hearts. That we would never look at the cross the same way again. And when we see that picture of two thieves beside You, we will see ourselves. And we will make a bold choice. This man has done nothing wrong. Don't you fear God? Lord, remember me when You go into Your kingdom. Theology is what we believe about God. And it's about time that we correct our theology. Lord, thank You for this beautiful Saturday morning where we can come together as a church family and remember what You have done on the cross and have a transformation in our heart. As we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, remind us that the God we serve is alive. You are alive, Lord. And because of You, we have life. Lord, forgive us for our sins, for the many times that we have taken You for granted, many times when we have put so many other things above You. Lord, may this day be a day of transformation. That from now on, You will be first in our lives. We will put You above everything and anything else. Lord Jesus, thank You for dying on the cross for our sins. Thank You for that radical love that we do not deserve, yet given to us because You are a loving and merciful God. May we come out refreshed, renewed, and transformed today as we leave this place and celebrate Your victory, which is our victory in Christ. This we pray in Your mighty and holy name. And everyone say amen and amen. Let's give God a praise. Happy Easter, everyone.
You just heard a message from Every Nation Canberra. For more podcasts and for more information on Every Nation Canberra, please visit everynationcanberra.org. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/everynationcanberra and on Instagram at instagram.com/encanberra. We meet every Saturday at 104 The Valley Avenue, Gungahlin. Would you like to be connected to a tag group? Email us at everynationcanberra@gmail.com.